Book 14, Chapter 4. How Pompey, when the citizens of Jerusalem shut their gates against him, besieged the city, and took it by force, as also what other things he did in Judea. Now when Pompey had pitched his camp at Jericho, where the palm tree grows, and that balsam which is an ointment of all the most precious, which upon any incision made in the wood with a sharp stone distills out thence like a juice, he marched in the morning to Jerusalem. Hereupon Aristobulus repented of what he was doing, and came to Pompey, had promised to give him money, and received him into Jerusalem, and desired that he would leave off the war, and do what he pleased peaceably. So Pompey, upon his entreaty, forgave him, and sent Gabinius and soldiers with him, to receive the money and the city. Yet was no part of this performed, but Gabinius came back, being both excluded out of the city, and receiving none of the money promised, because Aristobulus's soldiers would not permit the agreements to be executed. At this Pompey was very angry, and put Aristobulus in prison, and came himself to the city, which was strong on every side except the north, which was not so well fortified, for there was a broad and deep ditch that encompassed the city and included within it the temple, which was itself encompassed about with a very strong stone wall. Now there was a sedition of the men that were within the city, who did not agree what was to be done in their present circumstances, while some thought it best to deliver up the city to Pompey. But Aristobulus's party exhorted them to shut the gates, because he was kept in prison. Now these prevented the others, and seized upon the temple, and cut off the bridge which reached from it to the city, and prepared themselves to abide a siege. But the others admitted Pompey's army in, and delivered up both the city and the king's palace to him. So Pompey sent his lieutenant Piso with an army, and placed garrisons both in the city and in the palace to secure them, and fortified the houses that joined to the temple, and all those which were more distant and without it. And in the first place he offered terms of accommodation to those within. But when they would not comply with what was desired, he encompassed all the places thereabout with a wall, wherein Hyrcanus did gladly assist him on all occasions. But Pompey pitched his camp within the wall on the north part of the temple, where it was most practicable. But even on that side there were great towers, and a ditch had been dug, and a deep valley begirt it round about. For on the parts towards the city were precipices, and the bridge on which Pompey had gotten in was broken down. However, a bank was raised, day by day, with a great deal of labor, while the Romans cut down materials for it from the places round about. And when this bank was sufficiently raised, and the ditch filled up, though but poorly, by reason of its immense depth, he brought his mechanical engines and battering rams from Tyre, and placing them on the bank, he battered the temple with the stones that were thrown against it. And had it not been our practice from the days of our forefathers to rest on the seventh day, this bank could never have been perfected, by reason of the opposition the Jews would have made. For though our law gives us leave then to defend ourselves against those that begin to fight with us and assault us, yet does it not permit us to meddle with our enemies while they do anything else. Which thing, when the Romans understood on those days which we call Sabbath, they threw nothing at the Jews, nor came to any pitched battle with them, but raised up their earthen banks, and brought their engines into such forwardness that they might do execution the next day. And any one may hence learn how very great piety we exercise towards God, and the observance of his laws, Since the priests were not at all hindered from their sacred ministrations by their fear during this siege, but did still twice a day, in the morning and about the ninth hour, offer their sacrifices on the altar, nor did they omit those sacrifices if any melancholy accident happened by the stones that were thrown among them, for although the city was taken on the third month, on the day of the fast, upon the 179th Olympiad, when Caius Antonius and Marcus Tullius Cicero were consuls, and the enemy then fell upon them, and cut the throats of those that were in the temple, yet could not those that offered the sacrifices be compelled to run away, neither by the fear they were in of their own lives, nor by the number that were already slain, as thinking it better to suffer whatever came upon them at their very altars, than to omit anything that their laws required of them. And that this is not a mere brag, or an encomium to manifest a degree of our piety that was false, but is the real truth, I appeal to those that have written of the acts of Pompey, and among them to Strabo and Nicholas of Damascus, and besides these two, Titus Livius, the writer of the Roman history, who will bear witness to this thing. But when the battering engine was brought near, the greatest of the towers was shaken by it and fell down, and broke down a part of the fortifications. So the enemy poured in apace, and Cornelius Faustus, the son of Sylla, with his soldiers, first of all ascended the wall, and next to him Furius the centurion, with those that followed on the other part, while Fabius, who was also a centurion, ascended it in the middle, with a great body of men after him. But now all was full of slaughter, some of the Jews being slain by the Romans, and some by one another. Nay, some there were who threw themselves down the precipices, or put fire to their houses, and burnt them, as not able to bear the miseries they were under. Of the Jews there fell 12,000, but of the Romans very few. Absalom, who was at once both uncle and father-in-law to Aristobulus, was taken captive, and no small enormities were committed about the temple itself, which in former ages had been inaccessible, and seen by none. For Pompey went into it, and not a few of those that were with him also, and saw all that which it was unlawful for any other men to see, but only for the high priests. There were in that temple the golden table, the holy candlestick, and the pouring vessels, and a great quantity of spices, and besides these there were among the treasures 2,000 talents of sacred money. Yet did Pompey touch nothing of all this, on account of his regard to religion, and in this point also he acted in a manner that was worthy of his virtue. The next day he gave order to those that had the charge of the temple to cleanse it, and to bring what offerings the law required to God, and restored the high priesthood to Hyrcanus, both because he had been useful to him in other respects, and because he hindered the Jews in the country from giving Aristobulus any assistance in his war against him. He also cut off those that had been the authors of that war, and bestowed proper rewards on Faustus, and those others that mounted the wall with such alacrity, and he made Jerusalem tributary to the Romans, and took away those cities of Celesyria, which the inhabitants of Judea had subdued, and put them under the government of the Roman president, and confined the whole nation, which had elevated itself so high before, within its own bounds. Moreover, he rebuilt Gadara, which had been demolished a little before, to gratify Demetrius of Gadara, who was his freedman, and restored the rest of the cities, Hippos, and Scythopolis, and Pella, and Dios and Samaria, as also Marissa and Ashdod and Jamnia and Arethusa, to their own inhabitants. These were in the inland parts, besides those that had been demolished, and also of the maritime cities, Gaza and Joppa and Dora and Strato's tower, which last Herod rebuilt after a glorious manner, and adorned with havens and temples, and changed its name to Caesarea. All these Pompey left in a state of freedom, and joined them to the province of Syria. Now the occasions of this misery which came upon Jerusalem were Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, by raising a sedition one against the other. For now we lost our liberty, and became subject to the Romans, and were deprived of that country which we had gained by our arms from the Syrians, and were compelled to restore it to the Syrians. Moreover, the Romans exacted of us in a little time above 10,000 talents, and the royal authority, which was a dignity formerly bestowed on those that were high priests, by the right of their family, became the property of private men. But of these matters we shall treat in their proper places. Now Pompey committed Celesyria as far as the river Euphrates in Egypt to Scaurus with 2 Roman legions, and then went away to Cilicia and made haste to Rome. He also carried bound along with him Aristobulus and his children, for he had 2 daughters and as many sons, the one of which ran away, but the younger, Antigonus, was carried to Rome together with his sisters.